Hi, and welcome to Breaking Autopilot, a time where we sit back and reflect, think about what we're doing rather than being on autopilot, a conversation about what you've experienced and what I'm experiencing as I intentionally begin to focus on the important parts of the aspects of my life and not just going through of making a living, but making a life. So sit back and enjoy today as we talk about strength and where that comes from for me. And what it takes to be an encourager, what it takes to live this life that we're in. So for me, the biggest area of strength that I've drawn on is faith and the women in my family. Now the women in my family really have come first before that faith ever came to me as strength, because it had to be taught to me. Faith had to be shown to me as an option that was easier to see as a human. It's easier to see the grandmother who's been our matriarch of our family, Granny and Mamaw, as we call her, and Granny Clark, Mamaw, and others, Lily is her name. But she has always showed everyone grace. And this may be hard for me to show the gratitude for these women in my life. So bear with me, because I feel like this needs to be said. Because I believe that there are people in your life that have been those pivotal people for you, and then you may reflect on them as you listen to this. And I urge you to take the time to send a thankful note or to give them a phone call through that. But my Granny Clark has lived a long life, and she's in her mid-80s and raised children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. She's had others go before her pass, cared for her husband in long-term care, cared for her daughter in long-term care, cared for a daughter that went through cancer and survived it and beat it, cared for a granddaughter who went through cancer and didn't, had a child pass. I can't imagine the strength that's within that little body of hers. And every time that I ever think I can't do something, I remember my mamaw's words to say, "Honey, you just do it." And I said, "Mamaw, how do you do this?" When I'm in relationship struggles and I've gone to Mamaw and said, "This is hard. I don't feel loved. I'm questioning myself." And she says, "It'll be all right. We have to trust in God." She never let her faith waver. She never let her anger get the best of her in front of us. She stood by what always isn't the right thing. Didn't mean that she chose it, but she meant she stood by it. She had her own convictions. She gives everybody a gift, no matter how small, so that everyone's recognized at Christmas. The one with the least gives the most. She continues to care for others. She continues to get up and say, "Let's go visit today. Let's bring joy to someone." And she's always ready to go. You say, "Mama, you want to ride to town?" "Well, I'll grab my pocketbook and let's go." And I love that attitude as well from her. That, "Well, why not? Well, let's just go. It'll be all right. We may just window shop. We might just get us a bite to eat. But we're spending time together." It's about relationship. And again, as you know, that fell on my journey, that sitting behind a desk, following processes that we'll rewrite, it's the relationships that we change one at a time that helps us to encourage one another so we can talk about those processes to make them better, to get really at what our objective is, which is not to process the piece of paper, but to deliver the service. And I couldn't find a better example than my mamaw to use in those examples. So she gives me strength. My mom is an example of strength for me. I didn't know as a child what she felt when she felt alone. She didn't have a circle of friends around her when we were growing up. Her Family was a circle, but they lived miles away. And now I understand how lonely that might have felt for her. I wish I'd known more then so I could have encouraged more. But she never sowed that sadness for me that she always uplifted, encouraged me. She worked third shift up for us to have the things that we had. She made sure that I had the prom dress, even though she had to make payments on it. She bought me the piano because she wanted me to have things. And she wanted me to have opportunities. And I didn't know the struggle that we had to do that. Now, there was a stepdad in there as well that helped. My father, stepmom that were there to support him through all that as well. But my mom is the one who's was through those years listening to every story. I'd come home at school from school and she'd be awake for the afternoon before she took a nap to go to work, and she would listen to those stories. And I would go through each day, each moment, and she never rolled her eyes at how much more I could tell her. That did she really need to know who I sat by in every class? But she listened every time. And then when I began to date, she listened every time. Before I would go on a date, she would be there to help me get ready if I needed her to, which sometimes was like, oh my gosh, you're wearing your hair like that. And I would say, well, yeah, I am. And we would go on and just laugh about it. And some pictures show that it turned out quite all right. It wasn't as bad as what it seemed at the moment. It was permed hair back in the 80s. So you could imagine with some Aquanet and some of the moments that we might have had together. And then I'd come home from a date and she would get ready to go for work. And I would tell her about it and say, I don't, you know, mom, and sit there on the edge of the bed while she got ready. Never once did she say, that's enough. And then as I grew into college, she was there for me. My first marriage, my first child, mom was there for me. I couldn't get Jack to sleep one night. And he was crying, and I was lost and nervous. And I called my mom, and she came, and she rocked him, and she let me have a moment by myself. And then after she got him calmed and asleep, she said, honey, he feels your stress. He feels your anxiety, and he won't rest. And sometimes if you need to lay him down, you need to go restore, and you need to come back, and then you can restore him. And isn't that what Jesus did? He had to go restore. He had to go out and pray and come back. And that is encouragers that we need to do that sometimes and be okay with that. And then as my mom, I remember her watching me as I stayed for college and she left, and how heartbreaking that was for her to leave her child, even though I was 18 and an adult, still to leave me. And I already dread the day that I have to feel that emotion with Jack when he goes off to an adventure. And I'm going to feel that this summer as he goes just to camp as a counselor for scouts, that I'll feel that. And I'll know what mom felt to trust in the Lord. That your child will be okay. And we don't have to understand that God does not orchestrate the tragedies, but he brings blessings out of them. And I have to know, and Jack and I've talked about different things in life, that whatever happens, we want to know that our heart is right with God and we have an eternal place to live. And so no matter what the day or time of the our time here on earth, that we don't fear going out into the world and the dangers of the world. And I had to see my mom witness, to do that, to be a witness for that, to be able to let go and still move on and let your child go. And then she got sick. She was working and she had to have oxygen. So she got up, wore oxygen at night, and she got up and she went to work. She put on her dress clothes
And she was the best administrative assistant, most professional that you'll ever find. She didn't complain. She walked to the door. She got home. Barely making it in sometimes. And boy, putting her oxygen back on. And she did that for way too long. Do you ever wonder about whether you can really get up and go to work? My goodness. I think you can. And I think I can. And I draw on that strength every time. Of her strength and what she showed me. And then it got worse. And one day she didn't get to go back to work. She didn't get to get all the oxygen. And then her greatest strength began to show. The spitfire of a woman who had seen arguing toe-to-toe with men greater than her. Not that it was always one fault or the other, because it sure isn't in an argument, is it? But she had her greatest battle. And that's to be limited to oxygen in a chair. To have your mind and not your body. To not be able to go grab your child from a place that didn't need to be. And trust in the Lord. And she did that for many years. More years than the doctor ever thought she could do. The doctor actually said to her, "I'm surprised you're still coming in here, Sue." I don't know whether that made Mom feel real good or not. I kind of chuckled over it and said, "Well, I'm still here." She did therapy, trying to build those lungs back up. And she had COPD. And through those years, spent more time with her. Only thing she can do is rely on prayer. She had to trust God that He would take care of every situation that she couldn't be there to do. She had to find a place in her mind she can go to find peace in a chaotic world, a chaotic family, because there is no normal family. To have an aging husband that we didn't see was declining into dementia, that I thought he was a grumpy old man. To endure just the language sometimes, and just the aggravation that sometimes people scream at TVs and you don't know what they're screaming at. Just to not be at peace, to be able to turn out those things. And he did what it best as he could, and he cared for her. And because he had a body and she had the mind, I always joked that she'd tell him what to do and where to go and what to get, and take him several hours, but he'd find something and he'd bring it back and he'd fix him something to eat, and Mama would come out and she would fix him something to eat. And there Mom was. And I brought my children over, and she still got to see them and spend time with them. The other sisters and brothers came to visit. And she had friends that came to visit. Other children who hugged her neck, loved her. Grandchildren that came and spent time with her. And in that stillness of those years, I learned so much strength that God gave her. Because what I tell you is only partial of what you'll ever know. That what she endured as a mom. And we had very frank conversations that, "Mom, my life is not as rosy as it seems. I'm human just like you are. I just don't express it the way that others do. I don't show my sadness. I didn't show my vulnerability. My whole career, I didn't show my vulnerability till I had to with my mom. And I had to lean on those at my work. And I finally told them, I can't be any stronger than I am. And there will be days I break. And have acceptance. And honestly, quite frankly, folks, that's strength right there. Showing vulnerability is strength. To a mom who knew she was going to pass, who planned her funeral with me, told me what to play, what songs, that we talked about the color and her lighting. But she guided me every step through that process. She was in mind to do that. She was in mind to say she was ready to go home and be with hospice. Thank the Lord for them. She was prepared to see Jesus. That's strength, folks. God, that is God working in miraculous ways for her to be a witness to us. And you think that's enough. That's enough for me to have a strength, but it's not. No, not in my family. And I'm sure it's not in yours, because you can see examples in every single life that you ever see and touch. That one moment, everyone has strength in them. And God will lift every single person up if we only open our eyes to see it. So, here's my aunt. And I have a few of them. One that's passed. And the greatest thing that she passed early, and her child was only 7. And Grandma took care of him. And they continue to take care of one another. And Papa's passed. And the joy that she had in her heart as she battled her cancer and such was who cares? She didn't care if she danced in Pizza Hut and the jukebox was playing. And I used to be embarrassed as a teenager in those years. And now I look back, and the other night I was dancing in the skating rink with Skylar. She's taking off her skates, and I was thinking about my Aunt Eva. I was thinking about who cares? Because I felt joy. I'm so glad to be here and listen to this music and be with my daughter. And so I spun around and I did some extra dancing after I took my skates off. And I don't even care who's watching, because I'm not there for them. I'm there for me and Skylar. And I get that from my Aunt Eva. And my Aunt Linda, who for many years I felt like was stoic and doesn't say a whole lot. And she was always there and got to spend time with my cousin Dee, who was just a year older than me. Go out to their house. Dee and I would walk to the store. Sit underneath the tree, the shade trees, for hours, just talking. Aunt Linda being a very constant presence, very comforting presence. And Aunt Linda ended up with cancer. And it was stage 4. Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she stayed with Mamaw during that time, because they lived out in the country and to get to appointments and things. So she moved in with Mamaw. Mamaw helped care for her and take her to treatments. I never heard a complaint. And I wasn't maybe there as much to hear the complaints. But I've known her a long time, and I've still not heard the complaints. And those two women that cared for one another's strength, that gave comfort, that Mamaw, that Linda could find solace in Mamaw, and Mamaw could give her the strength that she needed to keep forward and to be going through all of those treatments. And Linda beat it. She's clear of it right now. Her strength has declined. And no, she's not at the same speed that she was once before. But her heart hasn't changed. And other things that she's endured that you'll never know. Just like every one of us has stories that we'll never know from one another unless we're really close. But you'll see examples of strength in them and what they carry. She continues to encourage others and show a faith in the Lord to guide her grandchildren. To guide me, to be there for me. It's all examples of strength, and to be there for my brother. And I appreciate it. It's my Aunt Polly. who is like a sister to me. And her daughter is kind of like a sister to me because we're 10 years generation. Her daughter, 10 years younger than me, and Polly, 10 years older than me. And I remember my first marriage. I spent a lot of time with Polly, and we were good friends as couples, and she helped me to go through growing up as a woman. And quite frankly, she's still helping me do that. And I know that she's there. Anytime I've needed her, she's there. And that strength, because she has her own things that she goes through, but she still finds time for others. And there's my cousin Dee, who battled cancer. And she didn't win. And she was only a year older than me. You think of unjustness? That would be unjustness. But that's not what we're here to question. Her work was done. Her work was done. Mom's work was done. It was done. And we'll see them again, but our work's not done, and we have to keep moving forward. The way that Dee carried herself with dignity and strength all through her life. And no. We had our own sins. Smoked at an early age. Yeah. As we all seemed to have done back then to try it, not as prevalent as today. And we trusted one another. And when she had to go through her treatments, you didn't see her get down. And I'm sure she did, but you didn't see it. For she knew she had a place that she would go in. And she fought it. I'm grateful. And I see those children around me that are growing up with strength. And I hope that I have an example and that we draw from one another and that I continue to encourage my child, Skylar and Jack. The greatest thing that I can give them is a faith so that they may see that they have an option. That they have an option to believe, to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, to have their heart filled with joy. And to be comforted when there's no human on earth that's going to be here long enough to comfort us through everything. And to open their eyes to the blessings that life provides for us. I hope that my children see that. And I hope that I give them that. For my nieces, the youngly loved ladies that they are, I hope they understand their value. And that they never get demoralized by what a man thinks. Or a coworker thinks, or their friends think. Because the only one that matters is what God thinks, and He created us, everyone unique, and He's put something special in each one of our hearts. And if we choose our free will to follow Him, we can find that peace and that joy, and I hope that they know that. And they both have faith in their backgrounds. And so I know that they can draw on that, and I hope that they do, and I hope they always remember that. And then there's friends that are showing me examples of strength that have come and gone. My best friend from college, Michelle. God knew when we met at the Baptist Student Center. God put her there for me. Because she has shown me grace for anything that I have failed at. Anything hidden in my past, she knows about and has accepted me and understood, not right or wrong, and helped to direct me in a positive way. And she has fought her battles. And those battles that she fought still want to rise up and they want to get in there, get into her mind, and they want to set her back. And she constantly just pounds them down and moves forward. And she is just as happy and smiling and such a positive person. I could not have asked for a better lifelong friend. Now, Shannon, I love you too, and I could talk about you as well, and I'm thankful for you, and that's third graders, Mandy and such. But Michelle, thank you for being that example of strength and all that you've gone through. So I'm just led to passages, and I'm going to go to Isaiah 43:18. Listen, you who are deaf, look and see, you blind. Who is as blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger? Who is as blind as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and recognize what is right, but you refuse to act on it. You hear with your ears, but you don't really listen. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, in Isaiah 43:8 or 43:5. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. You hear with your ears, but you not really listen. For anyone who's ever been looking for their strength and where did they find it, it's right there in the Lord. Listen. If something is bothering you and you're hurting and you're struggling, well, listen, because there is a way out. There is someone to encourage and to help you through that. Do not turn a blind eye to that. Know that God is with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. In those moments when it is dark, when it is lonely and your shoulders are slumped and your knees are to the floor, picture God around you. He will be your comforter. He will always be there. Always be there. Ask the Holy Spirit to warm your soul. Feel that. Faith. That's what we have. We have faith to believe that. And then in Isaiah 43:10, you have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. And the women in my life have shown me that through all of those tribulations, the one constant is God. The one constant for their strength is God. The one constant for their comfort is God. And I pray that the lifelong days that I have left, that I never lose that message. And that we continue to encourage one another, and we continue to uplift, and we continue to let go of judgment. To let ourselves be who we are and show grace when we mess up, because we will mess up. Show yourself grace and show others grace. Be there for positive. Love one another. You have those moments? You have those people? Share with them. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.